Alex the Paraquind, Chapter 1, Tierra del Fuego. Now we all know there is no such thing as a green bird that is half parrot and half penguin. But if you happen to be one, it isn't much help. You're just stuck with it. Alex was the Paraquin in question. He had the body of a penguin and the wings and head of a parrot. That meant he was a dusky green where normal penguins are black. Looking at him, it seemed as if he were a parrot wearing a green tuxedo or a penguin wearing a parrot mask. He didn't much like fish, and diving into freezing water was the last thing he wanted to do. Making a nest at the rocky margins of an ice floe didn't appeal to him either. As there was no Alexa in his life, that was unlikely ever to be essential. Alex had been made a pet by a sailor who gave him his name. He was so young when the sailor took him that he had no memory of his parents or where he was from. The sailor took him to Tierra del Fuego, which is one of the southernmost inhabited places in the world. It's an island, actually an archipelago, at the tip of South America. Being so close to the South Pole, days can be days all day and night, and nights can be nights all day and night. A real steamy summer day might get up to 50 degrees, but the wind makes it feel like the inside of an ice chest. Alex was accustomed to central heating and a steady supply of sunflower seeds, fruit, and cooked carrots and squash. He had been traded to an inn owner to settle a bill the sailor owed. To earn his keep, he had to learn to say all manner of things to amuse the customers. Some of them weren't very nice. He also had to do a dance with his webbed penguin feet to the music on the jukebox when someone requested it. It was, as they say, a life. But Alex wished for something better. He'd thought about the possibility of moving to a zoo in a warmer climate, but figured a zoo would become boring rather quickly. Alex and Rufa the dog would take walks together. Rufa liked company, and Alex was afraid of cats, so it was a good arrangement. One day, by the seashore, they saw an unusual boat. It had the shape of a canoe, but it was much larger. At the bow and stern were extensions that went up and curved back like a lizard with its tail in the air. It was one weird boat. Two young men sat in it, rowing, and seemed relieved to have found land. With them was an ibis named Bernie. Alex didn't think much of ibises. They tended to root about in the mud for crustaceans. But at least this one could speak pidgin. People of different languages often can communicate speaking pidgin, P-I-D-G-I-N, which is a forming of simple phrases to convey meaning. There's a lot of pointing and gesturing, but it works. Birds use pidgin, P-I-G-E-O-N. It takes a lot of head bobbing, but it works, and it's such a simple language, even sparrows understand it. After the usual how-do-you-dos, Alex learned the ibis was from Egypt, as were the two young men. They were Ephraim and Manasseh. It seemed they'd taken a wrong turn after the first cataract on the Nile River, and after 3,200 years of rowing, or so it seemed, managed to get themselves to Tierra del Fuego. They were feeling a bit hungry. The ibis had his beak in the mud already. Rufa ran back to the inn to get Juanita, the innkeeper's daughter, and after a few back-and-forth trips, all eventually were at the inn with the ibis and Alex moving the conversation from Egyptian to pidgin to Spanish and back again. To say a little was lost in translation is an understatement. That pidgin is missing words for sphinx and mummy is the least of it. Pyramid comes out as something like pointed statue. As this was moving very slowly, and was more like charades than translation, Juanita took them over to the Universidad de los Bellas Artes y Maquismo Automotivo, which means roughly the University of Fine Arts and Auto Mechanics. Professor Loco was able to give them some help. Hermano Loco had been a world traveler, because when a warrant was sworn out in his name, he would find the nearest border and cross it. And he picked up bits of language in his travels and had once been in Egypt. The good professor informed them that although the authorities weren't aware of them so far, that because they had no papers, they would soon find themselves back in their boat, drifting south for a visit to Alex's kinfolk. Even Alex thought that was a sad fate. Juanita chimed in with an idea. "You could put a sail on your boat and go up the coast of South America. I have an old oilskin tablecloth. You could use that." Now, the problem with such a voyage was that they had no more navigation aids than before. Now, the Polynesians had a perfectly good and very sophisticated navigation scheme, but Tierra del Fuego was fresh out of them. All that could be used by an untrained navigator was the constellation Crookes, which is known everywhere else as the Southern Cross. If the bow of the boat was headed away from it, you were going north. All that said, our would-be travelers had no knowledge of the treacherous winds and high seas they would encounter. They were, after all, at the tip of South America near Cape Horn. In the days of the great sailing ships, it took particular skill for a sea captain to round the cape and sail up the western coast, because the wind was rarely favorable. Sometimes ship and crew would have to wait over a month to pick up a good westerly wind. So it should come as no surprise that when our travelers got out to sea on a cloudy day and lost their bearing, that they went someplace they had no intention of going. Our little crew consisted of Ephraim and Manasseh, it was their boat after all, our friend Alex, Rufa, Bernie the Ibis, and Juanita, who'd made the makeshift sail. They had been at sea 3 days, and the winds had been getting colder and colder, when they came upon a small island. Juanita said, "That island isn't on the map." Alex said, "What map?" It was an old one her father had bought at the gas station. As no one knew which way they had been going, they agreed she could be right. As they got closer, they could see the island was either rock and ice or rock partially covered by ice. But on the side facing them were some sort of monuments placed in a regular manner. Even closer, they took on the shape of some kind of figure. Then a fog came in and hid them from our travelers' eyes. By this time, they were at the shore and dragged their boat up onto the beach to make it safe from the waves. They found shelter in a cave and found signs that others had done the same. Fresh water seeped down through the rock ceiling, and they collected it in a jug that Juanita had brought. They started a fire, and Alex rather reluctantly dove into the sea and caught some fish and brought them back for dinner.